Welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. You can hear us at accesssacramento.org, or you can download this program and previous programs at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com, or to find out about new programs, friend us at Facebook. Today's program is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Senior Attorney at the Natural Resources Defense Council. Kennedy was in San Francisco to promote The Last Mountain, a new film that features his efforts to end mountaintop removal coal mining in West Virginia. Dirty fuels should be forced to cover their full costs. Kennedy says not only could they not compete in the market, renewable energy would win. Kennedy argues our democracy is broken and the campaign finance system is a system of legalized bribery.
The Russian National Academy of Sciences just did a study this year, which people should look at. And because the nuke industry for years has always said, well, there was only 73 people killed as a result of Chernobyl. This is a meta-review of all the scientific paper and case reviews that have been done on Chernobyl, and it shows that 968,000 people have died in Russia and the surrounding countries as a direct result of Chernobyl. Almost a million people died, okay? But here's what I say to them, because they say, well, we're different than Chernobyl. I say, if you're safe, then get an insurance policy. Just like every other industry in our country, if you're safe, get an insurance policy and then compete in the free market. You know, they can't get an insurance policy. The insurance industry won't write them a policy because they're too risky to insure. And if they had to write them a policy, it would be so expensive they couldn't compete in the marketplace. So it's not just a bunch of hippies in tie-dyed T-shirts who are saying you're unsafe. It's guys from Wall Street in black ties and suits who are saying you're too risky for us to insure. And in a capitalist society, the insurance industry is the final arbiter of risk. You go home and look at your homeowner's policy. Every homeowner's policy in this country has a provision in it that says this policy does not insure you against radiation contamination caused by a nuclear power plant. So you are now insuring yourself against their mistakes. No other industry gets that gift. That is a huge subsidy. So I would say the construction, the insurance, and the storage make this so expensive that there's no way that it could compete in any normal marketplace. It has to be the only way it can compete is by spending money, spending whatever profits they make to control the political process and to make get their politicians, their political toadies and indentured servants in Congress to pass laws to force us to buy their power rather than economic, green, clean, safe, and patriotic power that we could produce for a tiny fraction of the cost.
Next audience question, please.
Sir, would you please speak to those who argue that coal generation with carbon capture and sequestration is the only way to reduce carbon emissions fast enough to avert catastrophic climate change?
Okay, well, there's no such thing as clean coal. That's just a dirty lie. But let me tell you this. I debated Don Blankenship, who was the head of Massey Coal. Last year, I did a 90-minute debate with him on West Virginia television. And the last thing that the moderator asked us is there anything on which the two of you can agree? And I said, yeah, there's one thing. Carbon sequestration is a joke. And he said, absolutely, we agree on that. It doesn't work. It's a joke. You know, you can make it work with huge amounts of taxpayer money in certain sites where you can do sequestration. Now, this doesn't mean at some point in history that they may figure out another solution rather than the geological sequestration, but algae sequestration or something like that that removes carbon and does it economically. But you're still left with the other emissions, which are mercury, ozone and particulates, acid rain, and then you're left with the extraction pollution, which is poisoning the entire eastern seaboard with mercury, lead, antimony, arsenic, selenium, conductivity, and a whole raft of other pollutants. So from every aspect of coal, from its extraction to its transport, its deployment to burning it. It is just, it's filthy, dirty death. And why do we want to do it when we've got really good alternatives that can make us energy independent and that can preserve the landscapes of Appalachia and the water? You know, everybody says, the next century, we're not going to have oil wars, we're going to have water wars. Well, where is the best water produced in this country? Appalachia. Why are we destroying that today? You know, why are we destroying it? So, and it's crazy.
One more question for Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yes. I'd like to ask you if you think it's possible not to repeat the pattern, the historical pattern of way new products are brought to market in the U.S., where they're just pushed out there and then they go ahead and then terrible things happen. I mentioned that to address your points of efficiency, power and control, and the tendency toward fascism or totalitarianism. For example...
Thank you. So yeah, Europeans have sort of a principle where a product has to be... companies who make it have to prove it's safe rather than here. The burden of proof is the other way around.
Well, excuse me. Sorry. But I wondered if there could be a change in the political process so that something like the Ezra Amendment that's being thought of and introduced, where there would have to be a requirement of social responsibility by corporate heads who are now often generals, say Wesley Clark promoting ethanol, and generals running the pharmaceutical company, which is very fascistic to me, being held accountable for things that may occur with new technologies. It came to my attention that after World War II, when we were doing the missiles program, a moth caused the program, computer program, to shut down. So a bird dropping can cause a solar panel to not operate.
Thank you for your question.
Can we have a citizens' review before we go ahead? Thank you.
Well, I'm not really sure what the question is. And maybe you could rephrase it.
Well, what I interpreted as in the United States, companies are able to put a product on the market, and it is the burden. It's sort of assumed to be safe unless it's proven to be unsafe. In Europe, products have to be proved safe before they can go into the market.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the burden of proof for example, pharmaceutical drugs or foods or pesticides. Toxic chemicals. The current way of doing that, which is it's arcane, we don't have time to go into it is not a sensible way of doing things. You ought to have to prove safety first. But we also need strong liability laws, and we've got a government now that is undermining those liability laws so that there are consequences if you put a product into the stream of commerce. You ought to be responsible for the damage that it does and the social costs that it imposes on the public. And that's what, you know, our traditional liability laws were meant to prevent, and the common law does prevent that. But you've got, you know, these sort of so-called tort reform movements in this country, which are just large corporations that are trying to protect themselves against the consequences of their greed, recklessness, and bad behavior. And, you know, all you need... I believe in free markets, and I believe that there should be, you know, that we should have as much freedom as possible in putting products in the marketplace and as much incentives for entrepreneurship, and that we should have as least regulation as possible. But you need a certain amount of regulation to protect the commons, to protect public health, and then the rest of it should be just sensibleness. If you put something out there that hurts people, we ought to be able to sue you for it and impose, you know, punitive damages if we show that you did it recklessly or knowingly. And we had those laws, but they're being dismantled now in this country because of the corporate control of our democracy. We have the most right-wing Supreme Court we've had in American history. This is not right-wing in terms of conservatism. There's no coherent conservative philosophy that governs this Supreme Court. Scalia, Edwards, Roberts, and Thomas. My partner was a clerk to the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. He reads every decision. He's one of the smartest attorneys I know, and you know that's a very, very hard job to get unless you're really smart. He's a lot smarter than I am, but he goes through every decision. He said there's only one coherent philosophy with those five justices. And it's not a conservative philosophy. It's the philosophy is this, and you can see in the last 3 days, the three big decisions that came to this court are so absurdly transparent of this philosophy. And that philosophy is that corporations always win. If it's a corporation against the individual, the corporation wins. If it's government against an individual, the government wins. If it's corporations against the government, the corporation wins. Tell me one single decision by those five justices that differs from that philosophy. That's not conservatism. That is corporate control of our democracy. Teddy Roosevelt said that the greatest threat to American democracy would never be an outside enemy, but rather malefactors of great wealth who would steal our democracy from within. Dwight Eisenhower, another Republican, warned Americans against the domination by the military-industrial complex, which is now part of our culture and part of our daily lives. Another Republican, Abraham Lincoln, the greatest Republican in history, said during the height of World War II, the height of the Civil War, I have the South in front of me, I have the bankers behind me, and for my country, I fear the bankers more. And Franklin Roosevelt said in World War II that the domination of government by corporate power is, quote, the essence of fascism. And Benito Mussolini, who had an insider's view of that process, said the same thing. He said fascism should not be called fascism. It should be called corporatism because it was the merger of state and corporate power. And, you know, what we have to understand in our country is that you hear the teabaggers saying that big government is the big threat to our democracy, but unsheathed corporate power is an even larger threat. And we need if we're going to save the environment, number one, is to get our democracy back. Thank you all very much.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. Oh, what a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. Oh, we will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. Down by the old maelstrom, there'll be a storm before the calm, and we will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake with complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. Oh, we will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a tedium when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are. Oh, we will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. You will all go directly to your respective Valhallas. Go directly, do not pass, go, do not collect $200. And we will all go together when we go. Every Hottentot and every Eskimo. When the air becomes uranious, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when we go.
Pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is my own.
For official purposes, everyone has a number. Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
6 of one, half a dozen of another.
Is this what they did to you? Is this how they tried to break you till they got what they were after? In your heads must still be the remnant of a brain. In your hearts must still be the desire to be a human being again.
This is a most serious breach of etiquette.
You saw me go, I was singing this where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
That's all, folks.